seriously popular.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good morning. You look delighted to see me as always. The game of the weekend, the Carabao Cup final. Forgive me for the mispronunciation. The League Cup final for traditionalists.
It is easier.
Fabulous game. Befitting of the venue, and should be a cracker.
So I was at Anfield to watch Liverpool demolish Chelsea a couple of weeks ago now. And at the time, after the game, I was thinking about the Carabao Cup final and just basically thinking, how are Chelsea going to live with Liverpool? You know, I didn't give Chelsea a chance. But because of Chelsea's recent form, because of Liverpool's lengthy injury list, but they're still managing to cope, I think this is a 50-50 game. I really, really do. It wasn't a 50-50 game a couple of weeks ago. It was so one-sided.
Yeah.
Liverpool were so superior. They were so dominant. But then you look at the Chelsea performance against Manchester City, where, you know, arguably they could have gone further ahead against City. That, you know, they missed other opportunities. And this is like, I think this is such an important cup. It's a cup which I think the perception is that it's the trophy which many teams don't want to try and win. Many managers don't want to try and win until they get in the semi-finals, and then it's really important to them. But getting that first trophy under the belt for any club, I think, is absolutely enormous. I think it's like a World Cup final for Pochettino, I do as well, because this season it's been so disappointing, and so many times we thought, well, Chelsea are going to turn the or they've turned the tide, and they're going to get going now, and then they have been consistent in letting themselves down. But where Pochettino is at, the perception of him, the difficulty which he's had with the job, if they win it, I think it will be enormous for him.
That's an amazing statement about it being a World Cup final for him.
There's been stories which have come out, rumours that, you know, he may not last the season, or, you know, they may be thinking about a change in the summer. I don't think anybody necessarily saw that. I know the way football is nowadays and the short-term view on managers and their positions, but I always thought when he went in at Chelsea, he was in for the long haul. But because of their performances this season, where they are in the league, I think this is such an important game for Pochettino and the perception of Pochettino.
I don't think there is at the minute anything such as long term at Chelsea. I think the grand plan of massive contracts for players and whatever, I think it's very volatile. I think changes could happen at any point. Just looking from the outside of it, but you talk about Pochettino. If Jurgen Klopp had said 12 months ago that he was leaving, I think Pochettino would have been long odds on to be Liverpool's next manager. in terms of how he promotes young kids, how the style of play. I think Pochettino's always had a respect for Liverpool from you know, speaking to him and how he's acted around it. I remember the Champions League final 5 years ago, and you know the way he spoke about Liverpool then. I think he would have been a good fit. I mean, I think if Liverpool were limited to just picking a manager from England in the summer, he would be very, very high on my list. I think if it was down to me to put a list together, because European experience, knows the pressure of dealing with a big club, knows the ins and outs of the Premier League. I think he's a quality manager, but you're right. I think he needs a trophy. He needs a trophy here. So you're 100% right in terms of saying that it's a big day for him. But and I actually, watching Liverpool in the first half last night, I would have had Chelsea down as favourites for the game. But the first 20 minutes of the second half from Liverpool last night, Jurgen Klopp has made the comparison with the Barcelona comeback. But I would go as far to say is that the first 20 minutes of the second half last night was as well as they played all season. They were absolutely breathtaking. The energy and the relentlessness and the desire and the way, again, Klopp used the word thunderstorm. I felt it was like a hurricane. Luton simply just couldn't handle them. And the energy that's given to the fans and the team ahead of Sunday, I think, has maybe just tilted the balance a bit.
Mm. So I looked at the starting lineup for the game, which I covered, Liverpool against Chelsea. The starting lineup last night, 6 changes, and you know, 6 key changes. And at this moment in time, Liverpool, it's a squad game, you know it is. But it's, I think that if you look at the lineup last night, I think it's a million miles away to being Liverpool's strongest lineup. So they're going to have to do it patched up, aren't they, if they are going to win it? You look at the goals which Liverpool will be missing going into Sunday's game. I mean, Salah looks to be doubtful. I mean, you're sort of more in the know than me, but if he, you know, nicked his hamstring again last week, it's going to be, you know, depending on the grade of the strain of the hamstring, then he's going to be touch and go. Doesn't look like Nunez is going to be fit. We know that Jota is out. I mean, they are, I think I worked out with my limited maths, if Salah does miss the game, that they're going to be over 50 goals out, which they've scored this season. Liverpool are going to be missing from the game at the weekend, which is extraordinary. And I know they're finding goals from other areas of the team, but Liverpool's strongest front line. Well, there you go. What would Liverpool's strongest front three be for you if Jurgen Klopp was, had everybody fit?
With everyone fit, it'd be Salah, Jota, Nunes.
Nunes, Jota ahead of Diaz, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, Nunes off the left, Jota through the middle, Salah off the right.
There you go. Do you think how many goals they're missing, you know, with that, what, best part of 50 goals?
Yeah, it is.
More than 50.
It is, but I mean, Canate will come back, Robertson will come back tomorrow night, on Sunday. Canate, Robertson. I think Salah will make it. I just have a feeling that Salah will make it. Not sure, as I said on Monday, I'm not sure about Nunes, but it'll be a fabulous game. The one thing... I think
they were 2-0 draws last. I mean, in the last couple of finals, averages there.
They were the best 0-0 draws I think I've ever seen in my life. And the League Cup final was incredible. It was an absolutely unbelievable game of football from both teams. Chelsea, it's very, very unlucky, weren't they? You know, a couple of marginal offside decisions. But the one thing I'd say is Liverpool never play well at Wembley in finals. They just haven't. Historically, there's something about Liverpool in the final at Wembley where it's always exceptionally difficult, always far harder than it needs to be.
What? Where is...
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because because I'm just trying to think how many cups Liverpool have won over the years, and they've never played well.
I'll go back to when they won the double in when they beat Everton in 1986. Everton marmalised them in the first half. Everton should have been over the hills and far away. And it was only in the second half they turned it around. Wimbledon, losing to Wimbledon. Sunderland and Bolton.
Your glass half empty, aren't you? We can ask our listeners. I mean, I'm not going to dispute anything you're saying. You went to school with Steven Gerrard. You are the Liverpool expert, or Steven Gerrard went to school with you. Sorry,
that's
I got
right.
that
Thank
wrong.
You. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
But to say they never play well at Wembley, I mean, that's some statement. I can't disagree with that. Norwich City never play well at Wembley, or rarely.
How many times did you play at Wembley?
Only a couple.
Seriously, this is a serious point. Being at Wembley on a big occasion, does it do things to a footballer? Does it make you feel nervous? Do you approach it in a different way that you might do? Can you not sleep the night before? I know everybody says, you know, it's just another game, blah, blah, but it isn't. Thing around it.
I think so. And I mean, I think it has been, I don't know whether I should say this, diminished over the years. I was never a fan of semi-finals being played at Wembley. That should just be, the final. But I still think it does have an aura about it, Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
But Liverpool never play well there. There you go.
No, they don't. But there we go. But they've won enough trophies down the year, and they might do on Sunday. I think anyway, there'll be plenty of teams that would love to be swapping positions with Liverpool and Chelsea on Sunday, isn't there? And you said something there. I don't understand, and I never will understand how managers from other teams, even fans from other teams, say, "I wouldn't want to win that. I wouldn't want to win that trophy." I think do you understand?
You're talking about the League Cup. It comes down to certain teams in the early rounds of the competition. Normally the teams who have European competition play weaker teams. But it's not just teams who are in Europe. Is it other managers who want to prioritise staying in the Premier League do it? But I just think it's enormous for any manager to get that first trophy under the belt. It's there. And that's it. I mean, Liverpool have the possibility of four trophies this season. Just imagine the lift that would give Jurgen Klopp and his team to really kick on this season. Just imagine the lift within the Chelsea dressing room, where they have had a bang average season. You know, they're far more capable than what they've shown, but all of a sudden they get a trophy. That's a foothold for Pochettino and the team to go on, finish the season with a bit of confidence and crack on next season.
Yeah, I mean, what Newcastle, just thinking back 12 months ago, so what Newcastle would have done to win that. They go to Arsenal on Saturday night, which is probably the game of the weekend in the Premier League. Arsenal coming off a very, very disappointing night in Porto last night. Listen, I've just had an email pop through this, because this is something that I've been thinking about since last night. I caught the tail end of the commentary. Arteta had only made one substitution, despite having quite an experienced bench, or there was key players on it. Well, I just want to read this out to you. So Liverpool have played 39 games. Man City have played 39 games. Arsenal played 36 games in all competitions. Liverpool have made 215 changes to their starting 11. Okay. Manchester City have made 160. Arsenal have only made 99. And where I'm going with this is, I wonder whether there is going to come a point where they run out of gas. And I wondered about last night. They were expected to win in Porto last night. And I sometimes wonder when a team suffers a defeat in the manner that they did last night, the long-term ramifications that it can have?
If I'm being totally honest, I think it's, you know, it's very hard to judge at this moment in time. And I'm not going to judge Arsenal on one defeat in Porto, where, I mean, Porto played it brilliantly, didn't they? I watched most of this game. They got in Arsenal's faces. They were disruptive. I think there's a stat that the ball was only in play for 50 minutes, whatever. You know, they clearly thought about the game plan. I thought set pieces were an enthralling watch, the way that they, you know, picked up the Arsenal players and made it extremely difficult. I mean, that's not a gimme Arsenal going through, but I take your point about the subs and Mikel Arteta not using as many Liverpool. I suppose Liverpool you could chuck in. They've had so many injuries anyway. But it comes down to having faith in the squad, and that probably tells you a fair bit about Mikel Arteta's mindset, that he doesn't trust everybody implicitly, and hence why come the summer probably expect to see, you know, him move in the market and try and get that squad strength up.
I think it'll be really fascinating game. I mean, I was reading Craig Hope's report at the weekend about Newcastle, saying that they can't defend at the minute, or they're really struggling to defend. And Arsenal are scoring an awful lot of goals. But I think I like the way Newcastle aren't afraid to play the dark arts and slow things down and make things wind people up. And I think they could really make things uncomfortable for Arsenal on Saturday night.
Do you think that's the reputation of Newcastle, that they're a dark arts team?
You don't?
No, I think it's one of those where most teams do what, or try to set out, you do what it takes. I don't necessarily look at Newcastle as a dark arts team. No, absolutely not. I know there's this nice sort of rivalry between the two teams now, isn't there? Because of the last couple of games. I mean, the game at St James's was the game where Arsenal had
the goal, wasn't it?
And Mikel Arteta lost his head after the game, didn't he? He said that it was a disgrace and embarrassing. You know, not just that decision, a few decisions. But no, I'm looking forward to the game. Newcastle's issue is they do concede too many goals. They do score them, but I expect that the fact that Arsenal are pretty sound at the back, that to be the deciding factor in the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would think Arsenal win, but I think it's going to be a little more problematic than I probably envisaged a couple of days ago.
Really?
Why are you looking at me like?
I just think Newcastle are an interesting. They're an interesting club at this moment in time. I think that the longer the season has gone on, the more underwhelming things have become. Even the Dan Ashworth stuff isn't, whether we like it or not, it's not a good look for Newcastle United. You know, when he went in, when Eddie Howe went in, and the turnaround which has happened under Eddie Howe. The way that the club have evolved, the way that they were brilliant last season. I still really enjoy watching them, but they're all of a sudden the richest club in the world. And with that naturally comes the mindset, you know, can they be the biggest club in the world? But the fact that the team have fallen away on the pitch this season, and the fact that then you're looking at the infrastructure and they're losing Dan Ashworth, who's the guy who's the brains behind it all, to Manchester United, isn't a good look for Newcastle, as far as I can see.
They've obviously had grand ambitions of muscling into the top four, pushing away. I'm just thinking, you know, listening to Sir Jim Ratcliffe talk last night for the first time after the Ineos takeover was completed. He said at least two or three years before Manchester United can properly challenge, and maybe knock. He used the phrase knocking off the famous phrase knocking off the perch, knocking Liverpool and Man City off the perch. With Manchester United's history and where the position that they're coming from, what chance have Newcastle got of knocking anyone off the perch, even for all the resources that they've got?
While Pep is at Manchester City, it's, you know, going to be difficult for anybody to knock Manchester City off their off the perch. I think it's a very valid point, which you make. Newcastle have these great ambitions, hence why you know, there was a change of ownership. But it's how to make that next step, and I think that we did see massive signs of improvement under Eddie Howe, but and that, you know, they have spent a lot of money, but he actually improved the squad which he inherited, got the best out of that group of players, but it is actually making that next step. And I'm not so sure Newcastle United actually know what the next step is, especially with Dan Ashworth leaving right now. You know, what's the plan going forward? How are they going to get back to, you know, to the form of last season? The Champions League has been, you know, was a great ride in many respects. They had the moments, but having said all that, the team have gone backwards this season, haven't they?
They have. Plenty of people fancy picking them off now. Just a very, very interesting situation. Watching what develops with them. I think, as I said to you on Monday, I mean, if it was a Newcastle fan, I'd feel unbelievably aggrieved about the Ashworth situation. It just really would, because everything that you're hoping and dreaming about in terms of how the club is going to progress, it now looks like it's going to. I won't use the word unravel, because that's not right, but it's making things hugely more problematic for them.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've been talking about Thomas Tuchel and Bayern. We've talked about Thomas Tuchel and Bayern Munich recently, haven't we? And now Thomas Tuchel is linked with West Ham, or potentially coming back to the Premier League.
Is he?
It's going to be a fast. Yes, he is.
Have you not read the papers? No.
Have they not been delivered to Sutton Mansion this week? This morning?
No. I always wander down, get my steps in, wander down to the local shop to get the newspaper. You can't beat, as far as I can see, the actual feel of a newspaper, opening it up. I know a lot of people like to go online these days, but nothing better than a newspaper. No, haven't seen that one. So Moyes is out, is he already?
The story is that Tuchel's been sounded out, or Tuchel's made himself quite available for a return to the Premier League in the summer. West Ham are mooted with him. Sammy Mockbell's written about it in the Daily Mail today. I think the whole thing's fascinating, because in terms of this and what it does with Xabi Alonso, because Xabi Alonso is a former Bayern Munich star midfielder. What he's doing in Germany. You're looking at me very quizzically.
No. The reason being is there's not been... I don't know. But there's not been loads of noise about other managers and the Liverpool job. It's been Alonso. This is, you know, everybody's thinking this is, it's just, I don't know whether I think it's a natural fit. I don't think it's that easy following Jurgen Klopp, but it looked to be the next step that Liverpool were going to take. But now, this Tuchel leaving at the end of the season and Alonso, I have seen the stories that he prefers Munich to Liverpool. Where does it leave Liverpool? What's Liverpool's plan B then? If it was a plan B?
If there was a plan B.
Was it always Alonso, as far as you could see?
As far as I could see, and I thought it was interesting that Jurgen Klopp actually spoke about him last week in terms of talking about, he called him one of the brightest young managers in Europe, and he made a pithy little comment about him and Guardiola being dinosaurs now, because Alonso's only 42. Sometimes I think something's so obvious that the answer's staring you in the face with Alonso. But I think I've said to you a couple of times, he's a smart lad. He thinks about things, and he will do what's best for him. There'll be no sort of emotion in the decision that he makes. It won't just because I won the Champions League with Liverpool. I'll go there. I think he'll be very, very clear in what he does.
So if there's a choice, Munich or Liverpool, which city is better to live in, Dom?
Well, God's own city on the waterfront with two cathedrals, the Beatles.
No, I thought you'd say
that. The best horse race in the world. Yeah. Yep. So
it's
Munich.
Done.
Yeah.
Alonso's going to Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, seriously, we'll just talk about West Ham just briefly. How vital is it for importantly that they beat Brentford at the weekend?
I don't think it matters anymore. I think that I think I've made my feelings pretty clear about David Moyes. I don't think he deserves what the feeling which there is at West Ham at this moment in time and the negativity towards him. I saw there was a banner, Moyes out at the weekend. Look, I think it's ridiculous. I think that's pretty shameful, the job which he's done. He doesn't deserve any of that. I don't think a win is going to change things dramatically. I suspect at the end of the season, David Moyes and the club will shake hands and they'll agree to go their separate ways.
Right. Well, listen, the little fella will be back on Monday, and I hope he's got a Toblerone for you. Yeah, I hope he's got a Toblerone for you. He probably won't. He probably won't, because the last time he opened his wallet, the Queen started blinking because it was so bright. Anyway, you can pick up this wonderful podcast with me and Chris on all your usual channels. I'm Dominic King. He's Chris Sutton. It's all kicking off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.